on a fresh Monday morning. Leanne Rimes just before that with the story. And right now we're getting into a story. If you're just tuning in, it's 10 minutes past 7. You're listening to Mike in the Morning. And I've got a fascinating guest with me this Monday. And I'm really excited to introduce you to Joshua Stapleton, who is someone who saw the AI wave coming before most of us probably even knew it was a wave. Or a ripple, for that matter. Presenting on the opportunities and the very real risks of AI, cheap universal intelligence, he's recently been asked to serve as an AI advisor on the original Seton House School's AI Steering Committee. He's since helped shape the AI policy and joined the Education Committee and regularly runs AI workshops for teachers right across the province. And his big belief that education is a fundamental human right, and that AI, done properly, could give every single person access to what he calls a personal Socrates, you know, patient, available, and nuanced. And, enough from me. Let's hear from Josh himself. He's in the studio. Joshua, welcome to the show. Great to have you on Radio Life and Style, my friend. How are you doing?
Yeah, very well, thanks. Thank you for having me.
For those who have never met you, I mean, I've just met you a few minutes ago, and really I feel I'm in the presence of someone who really understands this topic. But just give us a little bit of your background and your connection to the world of artificial intelligence.
Sure. So, as you said, I saw the AI wave coming pretty early. I had the privilege of playing around with the pre-ChatGPT large language models that were being put out by OpenAI at the time, which was, I guess, as early as 2019.
Wow.
And I saw this kind of exponential progress where, you know, 2 weeks ago they couldn't string together a sentence, and now they are starting to actually write semi-coherent sentences and then semi-coherent stories. And I just saw this unbelievable trend of progress and made a pretty early career decision to pivot into doing this full-time. I ended up studying it, just finished my master's in AI, and I work in it full-time, engineering and consulting.
Amazing. And a space that is not slowing down at all.
Nope.
Exploding and infiltrating pretty much every corner of the workplace and the classroom. I want to know, how is AI currently being incorporated into schools and classrooms that you're engaging with?
Yeah, so I host a lot of teacher training workshops, actually, in and around KZN. And so all of this isn't really just vibes-based. It's actually anecdotal. I hear from teachers directly. And I think the most AI-forward, AI-savvy teachers are using AI to assist with admin, first and foremost.
Okay.
So not trying to replace their interactions with students, not just slapping students in front of chatbots. They actually are using it to craft really bespoke lesson plans, get it to draft detailed homework questions. Hmm. The most intelligent teachers that I've interacted with will actually create a transcript of the lesson and then use that to inform exactly what questions they add on the homework, instead of just grabbing like a generic worksheet off of, you know, Google.
Wow. But in your experience, those really switched on AI engaged teachers must be quite a thin sliver of the total pie.
Unfortunately, yeah. There's obviously a dark side to this, like with any given technology, and it's important to kind of preface this up front. There's a lot of risks that come with it.
But before we really expand on that, let's try and paint the shiny golden picture first and look at what are the biggest AI benefits that students and teachers can grab at the moment.
I think I've spoken about how it can free up teachers from doing admin kind of grunt work. For students, it's even more rosy, the picture. And, used right, it can be truly, truly unbelievable. I spoke about you spoke about in the intro, the personalized learning piece. So I see this technology as a personal, infinitely available tutor that can meet students where they're at in their own home language, that they can access any time of day or night. It's a PhD level intelligence that is accessible over Wi-Fi with a smartphone. It is truly unbelievable. We are in this world of intelligence no longer being this scarce resource, but an absolute commodity that is in abundance now, all around us.
Wow. And would you agree that most people are kind of sleeping on that fact, that, that this thing is so powerful, the potential is so rich? It's, I mean, you can access a lot of these models for free.
Yes.
But then, as you say, there's this other side of the equation. And whenever there's a free product out there, what do they say? If you're not paying for it, then
then you are the product.
You are the product. What are some of the caveats, the sort of darker sides that people should be aware of if you're engaging with these tools, whether it's in the classroom or outside?
Yeah. So as an upfront caveat, I am an AI optimist. My bias is towards viewing this in a positive light, and I think it can be used very well. But the darker sides of this, I've seen some truly unbelievable, almost dystopian uses of AI, where you have teachers using AI to generate, you know, kind of slop homework questions, students using AI to answer the slop homework questions with AI. They don't look at it, giving it back to the teachers using AI to grade the slop homework answers that the students have given. So there is no human in the loop here.
There's no learning. There's no real sharing of knowledge.
No, it's not about humans anymore. It's just this back and forth with AI information. That is, for me, like the darkest use case here, where we are no longer the focus. It's just AI talking to AI all the way down.
Wow. Okay, so from one extreme to the other. Why is it important for individuals on an individual level to learn how to use AI effectively and responsibly? I guess what do you call it? Like EQ, AIQ, your AI intelligence or AI savvy?
I see it much more fundamentally than that. That question for me is like asking, why is it important to use computers effectively in the early 90s? This for me is becoming the fundamental interface to knowledge work itself. Like if you can't use AI and have strong AI literacy, I think you are severely handicapping yourself. Your potential is so extreme because it is an intelligence and it can work with you and meet you wherever you're at, whether that's at, you know, grade 10 level or at PhD level.
Amazing. If you're just joining the middle of the conversation, in the midst of a chat with Joshua Stapleton, a man who is really at the bleeding edge of AI and education as a consultant, as an advisor, sitting on the education committee at Seton House School, which is very hotly anticipated, the opening of the school next year, and really shaping up to be, in all senses, a world-class educational institution. Josh, from your perspective, what challenges should schools and parents be aware of when introducing AI into an education setting?
I think the first big one is false mastery on the student's part. Like, it's very easy to use AI to seem like you are a subject matter expert in a given topic. I mentioned earlier that, yeah, students can use AI to answer basically any knowledge work information, whether that's math homework, writing English essays. An important point to clear up, there's this idea we still have, which is wrong, of AI plagiarism detection. That system, that so-called tool that exists in the world, doesn't work. And there's like a strong reason I can give as to why it can't work. Not only doesn't, but can't. But this idea that we can just check for AI, it has been debunked. So it's this, yeah, if a student wants to use AI, they can change three words in what the AI wrote. Is that human or AI? It's like a gray problem. So you can't actually detect for this reasonably. So it's false mastery is, for me, like the number one risk here.
It's a wild time to be, you know, trying to figure out how to integrate this thing into a space where you're trying to pass on knowledge, but also test if that knowledge has been retained and make sure that skills are being imparted. A lot of parents have this question, you know, in this AI-driven world, what skills should my kids be focusing on developing to help kind of future-proof them for, you know, this really fast-evolving world we're living in?
Yeah. Maybe to start with the negative, there's few hard technical skills that you can actually learn now which are guaranteed to remain super, super valuable in the future. So I would say focus on the quote-unquote softer skills. For me, things like discipline, things like motivation, these communication skills. How do you interface effectively with machines and people? These were called softer skills in the past, but I think they are more important than ever. Traditional skill sets, very often are being obsoleted by AI. So focus on the quote-unquote softer stuff.
Wow. And I know there's a bit of a focus on sort of learning how to learn and finding the best ways for you as a human being to take in knowledge. Some people, maybe it's an auditory thing, and then maybe you're using AI to sort of speak your notes to you or to summarize things in novel ways, or maybe you're a more visual learner and you're then trying to use AI to help graphically represent information so that you can retain. So there's that sort of softer side as well. But how do you see AI shaping the future of learning and education in the years to come? I mean, can you even hazard a guess where we're going to be in a year or two from
now? Yeah, you've probably guessed my answer here. I don't think it's going to shape it. I think it's going to direct it. This will become the central focus of not just learning, but I think most things that we will do in the coming years as a species. The big one is the abundant piece. Like, we are moving from a world where education and the ability to be educated was a scarce resource, and now it is infinitely available. You need Wi-Fi and a smartphone, as I said earlier. This is not a privilege of the monarchy. You don't have like an Aristotle for Alexander the Great as the tutor. You now just have ChatGPT, which can meet you where you're at as an intelligent, motivated, curious student. You can push it as far as you want and go really far with it.
Obviously, in a country like South Africa, where there is a real disparity in access to things like Wi-Fi and smartphones for many students in many parts of the country, probably the majority of the country, that's still a challenge. And do you see there being a real risk of South Africa as a whole lagging behind the world? And or do you have that hope that these tools will become more accessible and that there'll be some way for people in even the most far-flung remote corners of the country to get access on a very basic data plan, on a very basic cell phone, not needing necessarily an iPhone and, you know, 5G.
That is very much my hope. I mean, it's a broader risk to this country. We lag behind sometimes in many areas. But given how accessible this is, you aren't needing to stream, you know, 4K HD YouTube video. We're talking about streaming text. This is, you know, kilobytes of data over Wi-Fi. So you don't need the latest iPhone. You need like the most simplistic devices, a Chromebook, less even, a Nokia smartphone. Like, yeah.
This is, it's such an exciting, interesting conversation. I'd really like to pick it up again and to dive deeper. You're a busy man. You're in demand. You're not just based here on the North Coast. You're around the world, global. In fact, tomorrow I believe you're heading off to Japan.
That's right. Yeah.
So perhaps on your return we can line up part two and see where things are heading in 2026 and beyond with the fast moving, ever shifting AI goalposts. But right now, what a way to reframe the conversation. Not AI versus education, but AI as education, if we get it right. A personal Socrates for every child, that's the vision. And the work that Josh is doing in the classrooms, in policy, and in teacher workshops across the province, that's the kind of work that turns a vision into something real. So Josh, thanks for your time this morning. For anyone listening to this who wants to keep tabs on your thoughts, to like, to follow, to connect with you, what's the best way to reach out and stay in touch?
I think the best way would be my email, joshua.stapleton.ai@gmail.com.
The email address says it all. Joshua Stapleton giving you a perspective on AI in education, and my special guest on a Monday morning right here on Radio Life and Style. Josh, let's do it again. What do you say?
Definitely. Thank you for having me.
You heard it here on Radio Life and Style.